Start out. The Bible says there in verse 9, whom shall we teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now that's what I want to talk about tonight is doctrine. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Look, if you will, over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, notice what Paul said there. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the first thing he says it's profitable for is for doctrine. I've been preaching the Word of God right divided at Grace Bible Church for about 37 years. I learned it about 6 years prior, seven or eight years. And had assisted there in the teaching ministry some. And one of the things that I found really, to me, to be enthusiastic about when I learned about rightly dividing was the fact that everybody seemed to be on the same page. And coming out of denominational teaching, I realized that much of what I had been taught was by according to tradition. If you had asked me who the apostle to the Gentiles was, I couldn't have told you. If you had asked me where I was the gospel of my salvation, I couldn't have told you. Probably went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, somewhere over there. I preached for about 6 or 7 years lost and didn't get saved till I came to Chattanooga there and heard the word of God right divided and the gospel of my salvation and trusted Christ. And I was thrilled when I found out there were people that believed the Bible rightly divided and we fellowshiped together. What I have found lately and what has surprised me, well, let me just say it this way. Years ago, even 20 years ago, I would never have believed that some of the men that call themselves rightly dividers or grace preachers would teach the things that are being taught today. I would have never believed it. And you know, we used to talk about the doctrine of this denomination, the doctrine of this denomination. Well, I think there's some things being taught by men that claim to be grace preachers that need to be addressed. It's what I call backward theology. I mean, we all agree in this room, I believe, that the church started with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And we all believe that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles, and Paul was given a separate and distinct gospel, separate and different from the gospel of the kingdom, different from what Peter preached and the 12 preached. I mean, those are just basic fundamental truths, not of our denomination, but out of the Word of God. And I know a lot of people that they believed that at one time, and now, instead of starting the church in Acts 9, they've gone backwards, and they're back in Acts 2. Instead of saying that Paul's gospel was exclusive to the church body of Christ, now they're saying that Peter really preached the same thing. Paul was just a continuation, and I can just go on and on and on. So what have they done? They've gone backwards instead of forward. They've gone backwards. Now I want you to look over to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, I believe there's a reason for this. And this is not the only reason. But in Acts 17, you know the account probably where I'm going to read. Paul is in Athens in verse 16. And it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily, and them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else, but either to hear, nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Well, they should have been thrilled with what Paul was preaching, because they said he's preaching a new doctrine. And he was to them, because the Sadducees didn't believe the resurrection. They didn't, and the Pharisees, they didn't believe that Christ was the Messiah. And here you have a bunch of pagans, a bunch of idol worshipers, and they are there philosophizing, doing all their, you know, talking about the flat earth and all this other stuff. And he said, "What will this babbler say?" Folks, there are some people that they spend their time in little else, but either to hear or to tell some new thing. Now, I want to ask you something. When the Word of God was completed, Paul said he fulfilled the Word of God, filled it up. There came a time when God completed His Word. Every individual today that stands and tells people that God spoke to them audibly and told them something, they are denying the fact that God's Word was completed. Because if God is still revealing Himself to people in any way, then the Word was never completed. But the Word was completed. It was finished, and it was written down, and it was put together in what they call the canon of Scriptures. Now, Paul wrote 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. He told Timothy, "Take heed unto the doctrine. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men." Now, what is it, that God has added to Paul's epistles in the last 2,000 years? Nothing. Well, then, how are you going to find anything new? If it's been there 2,000 years, folks, it's been there 2,000 years. Now, it may become new to the reader when they read it. But you see, people, they take that doctrine and they change a word here or change a word there and cause people to be turned away from the truth by preaching some new doctrine. Now, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 7. I want us to look at several things here in the time we have. And I want you to understand that everybody, just about everybody, whether it be a denominational church or the people I've just been talking about here, or any kind of religious system, they all get their doctrine out of the Bible. And that's why people are deceived. I mean, I believe the Bible. The problem was that all I ever read was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the reasons for that is I was taught in a seminary class that I attended at nights. I never went to a seminary, but I went to classes there in Birmingham, Alabama. It was sponsored by then Howard College, now Samford University. And the third week I was there, I believe it was, one of the professors got up and he was teaching out of Corinthians, and he said that the reason Paul said what he did about marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 was that Paul was probably homosexual. This from a theological professor. Now, I wasn't very smart, but I had enough sense that I didn't need to hear that kind of junk, and so I quit that night. Walked away from there. And what I found out was that if you want to learn the Bible, there are not many schools you can go to learn the Bible. You might learn how to be a speaker. You might learn how to preach. And you might learn church doctrine or man's doctrine, but you're not going to find many colleges today. As a matter of fact, I don't know of a single Bible teaching college today that teaches the rapture of the church. I don't know of any of them. Some of them might have professors that believe that, but in their doctrinal statement, you won't find that. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Look in Matthew chapter 22. My point is that I want you to see that Jesus Christ, he taught doctrine. So in your Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the doctrine of Jesus Christ that was taught while upon earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. Every word of doctrine is the word of the Lord, are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout your Bible. But there was doctrine pertaining to the kingdom message that Christ taught. The Bible said he preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the things that were taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people are trying to apply to their life today, and they end up discouraged and despondent and in misery. And anybody that tells you that they are following the Great Commission or the Sermon on the Mount, they're just lying. They're not doing it. If they claim to be doing that, ask them if they have a bank account. Jesus Christ said, lay not up for yourself treasure on earth. Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. I'm glad that people take some thought about what they're going to put on. Some people all take more thought about what they put on. Matthew 22. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So there are numerous places, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 11. And by the way, look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John 7. In verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus Christ taught the doctrine that was given to him of God Almighty. He said, it's not mine, but it's his that sent me. And there's a whole other message in all of that. And has to do with Jesus Christ and him willingly not exercising all the attributes of deity. He taught what the Lord gave him to teach. It was God's doctrine. But it was doctrine pertaining to the nation Israel. John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jew. And so people today, they go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they teach doctrine. They teach Christ doctrine. The problem is, that's not our doctrine. It was Christ's doctrine to the nation Israel. Look back in Matthew chapter 16. Every time God has somebody teaching the truth, as far as doctrine is concerned, there's always going to be resistance to it. In Matthew chapter 16, let's just look in verse 6, just for time's sake. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had their doctrine. And that doctrine was contrary to the doctrine that Christ was teaching. And Jesus Christ spoke of it as leaven. And you know what leaven does. The little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It doesn't take a lot of people teaching a lie to infiltrate and destroy and overthrow the faith of some. And that's why you need to take heed and pay attention to those that you listen to and those you give heed to. Evaluate it by the Word of God. Look in Acts chapter 2. There's Jesus' doctrine, and that which was taught contrary to that was the Pharisee doctrine. In Acts chapter 2, we find the doctrine of the 12. And this is where a lot of people get their doctrine today, and once again, therein lies the problem. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, the men of Israel, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So there was the doctrine that was being taught by the 12. That's not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. It's amazing to me that people want to push and struggle with this thing and make Peter preaching the same gospel Paul preached when he clearly says, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And later on, the Bible says in verse 44, all that believed what? The apostles' doctrine. All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, the apostles' doctrine was the Lord's doctrine. They're teaching exactly what Christ told them to teach in Luke 24. After he opened their eyes of understanding to the scriptures, he said, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached. And so it was. And here it's called the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because the apostles were the ones that were teaching that. What did it include? It included the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. It included the fact that Israel had messed up. They had rejected their Messiah. They killed him. And many of them said, what shall we do? And the message was, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The apostles' doctrine included the death, burial, and resurrection. People say, well, see, they preached the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul preached the death, burial, and resurrection. Must be the same gospel. No. They both included the death, burial, and resurrection. But notice what Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So I get in this argument not long ago, and this person says, but Peter understood about the blood of Christ. He wrote about it in 1 Peter, which happens to be about 35 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But yeah, they understood that Christ, they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Paul preached. They must be preaching the same gospel. No, Paul said, we have now received the atonement. The gospel's not just the facts of what happened there at Calvary, but who's included. And people like you and I, Peter, James, and John would have never even thought about going to. Matter of fact, when he was told to go down to the household of Cornelius, who was a man who feared God and worked righteousness, Peter questioned that. But you see, when they get over there, then they've got to say, well, Cornelius is in the body of Christ because Peter preached the same thing that Paul later preached. And ain't nobody ever showed me that yet. Paul said we're in one body by the gospel. Not a gospel, the gospel. And the gospel Paul preached is the gospel of Christ. And he said that is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Nobody today is getting saved by the gospel that Peter preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Anybody get saved today is going to get saved on the basis of Paul's gospel, the gospel committed unto him. Look in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, if I sound like I'm mad, I'm not. I'm just a little perturbed. In Acts chapter 13, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John their minister. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw that was done, what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, you see, people will acknowledge that everything that was taught up until they get over to Paul's epistles is the doctrine of the Lord. But who is it that you will hear called into question time and time again as far as the Bible is concerned. It will always be the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote, they'll make statements like, Paul wrote, much of what he wrote is just his opinion. No, that's why Paul said what we started out with here tonight. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that all Scripture was not just a catchphrase that Paul was using. Go back over there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to show you how people many times misread this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So I have this discussion the other day. This verse is sent to me in an email, and the person says, see, what you're teaching is wrong. Paul was saved by, or Timothy was saved by the Old Testament Scriptures. And I wrote back and I said, the verse never said that. He said, well, it does say that. No, I said, read the verse. It said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, comma. Now just stop there for a moment. Then Paul says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What's the reference to? The Holy Scriptures. Hold on here and look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. See, there's a reason Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Because there were those that Paul, that were denying the authority of the Apostle Paul during his ministry. And if you don't believe that, I would challenge you in the next week or two to read through 2 Corinthians and see how many times Paul vindicates and defends his apostleship. We just finished the book, studying it on Sunday night. I think it took about 2 years to get through there, but I was amazed. I mean, I'd read through the book, but you know, it's something different when you study it to teach it. Over and over again throughout Paul's ministry, he is having to defend the fact that he is an apostle. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's another place where people get tripped up. They say, well, see, Paul wrote an epistle to these people, so he must have wrote the book of Hebrews. He didn't say he wrote them an epistle. He said he wrote the same things to them that he wrote in his epistles. Read it like it says it on the page, folks. Is it in rocket science? People just won't believe the words. He said, according to the wisdom given unto him, as has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are in learning unstable rest as they do. Notice now, also the other Scriptures. This book was written about the same time, within 5 or 6 years, of 2 Timothy. Well, then I'll ask you something. According to Peter, who people say they want to follow, did Peter say that that which Paul wrote down was Scripture? Yes, he did. It was already Scripture. It is no wonder back in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that Paul says, all Scripture. I believe Paul is emphasizing to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men. Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Those Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation, and it just so happens that it's the Scriptures that Paul wrote that were able to make him wise unto salvation, and not, in other words, gave him wisdom about his salvation that he received. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Back in chapter 5, before we read in 6, look in verse 17 of chapter 5. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It's God's doctrine. It's the Lord's doctrine. Paul says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Folks, the only doctrine today that is according to godliness, and when I say doctrine, that's exactly what I'm talking about, which doctrine is a body of beliefs. All Scripture, we ought to read all of it. We ought to study all of it. But you know what? I've heard people over the years say, well, I don't believe in teaching doctrine. I just believe in teaching Jesus. Every word of this book is doctrine. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But it's not all doctrine for us as members of the church, the body of Christ. And therefore, we have to realize that there was Christ's doctrine. And when Christ was preaching his doctrine, the Pharisees were preaching his doctrine, or their doctrine. When the apostles came along, it was called the apostles' doctrine. But it was still God's doctrine. And there were those that resisted. And there were those that persecuted those that believed. And so God raised up the apostle Paul, and he committed a whole body of truth. We call it the revelation of the mystery, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, and he committed that to the apostle Paul. Now one other verse, and we're going to close. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. To be continued. Tomorrow night we're going to look at those doctrines of devils that Paul's talking about. See what some of them are and how they have infiltrated not only religion, but they have infiltrated the world of those many who claim to be rightly dividers. And Paul talks about them having departed from the faith. These are not lost people. To depart from the faith, a person would have to be in the faith. And when you do a study of that phrase in your Bible, maybe you want to go home and look it up in your concordance. Probably better than whatever on TV tonight. Oh, that's right, 2020 will be on in an hour. The faith. What is that? That is the body of truth that was delivered to the Apostle Paul. He said, I have kept the faith. He never departed from what the Lord gave him. And yet, when you read that last chapter, there are not many there left. When Paul wrote to Philippi, he said, I have no man who will naturally care for your state. He had Epaphroditus and Timothy that he wanted to send over there. Think about that. Labored all those years, and he's sitting there in prison, and he writes and says, I have no man to send over there who will naturally care for your state. You think you have it rough? But you know what? That didn't matter to Paul. You know why? Because he said, I know whom I have believed. You see, folks, it's not, you don't judge truth on the basis of how many people believe it. You base truth on what's written in this book right here. Study, he said, to show thyself approved unto God. Tomorrow night, I hope you'll be back and we'll talk about these doctrines of devils. Brother Brian said I should dismiss you, and so I formally dismiss you.